walk off the bridges, because you've been to Paris.
Yeah.
Yes, they're gorgeous, right, along the Seine. And every day there's like brides and grooms who want to take their pictures there. And there was one day where we had like this really beautiful bridge that we were filming on, and there was like crying brides because they...
Look what you did.
I know. Oh. How dare you?
Evil.
That and now there's even more people who like want to come, because it looks so pretty in the show.
Yeah.
It's beautiful in the show.
That was going to be my question. How do the locals treat you guys? Because, you know, Parisians are notoriously rude in general. But if you're there as Americans, shutting down streets, recording this show, how does that work out for you?
I mean, the Parisians have always been like very nice to me.
But, well.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, it's different. First season, you know, especially there's that square where like Emily's apartment, the restaurant are and everything. First season, like no one cared who we were, what we were doing. By the time I got to the second season, there's like hundreds of people. It's like a tourist destination now, like all around all the time. But I think the people in that, in that particular square of the people who are living there, half of them are happy because they get like the best paparazzi shots or whatever. And the other half are like furious that the croissant prices have gone up to like $18.
Look what you did.
Well, I feel like we have that same, you know, when they shut down a street for SBU
or
whatever they're recording, we know that the tourists love it, but we walk by and spit. Yep. Like,
oh, yeah, we hate it.
We hate it. How dare you block off that road?
Like, for instance, I live downtown, and so to get home through an SVU shoot is... I mean, I'll run through while they're shooting. I'm like, I gotta get home.
So when we were on a bridge another time, we had a jogger. We have a... I gotta find the take somewhere. But all of a sudden, because all the extras, you know, it's an extra on the show or like a supporting artist when they're dressed like they're for Emily in Paris. Even if they're just like in the background, you're like, ah, I see you there. You know?
No cutoffs.
There was a jogger that just was really French and just ran through the scene, was like, poof, poof, this is my, you know, and we were like, are we supposed to keep going? Like, running through us.
Well, I know, but it is invasive. It's your neighborhood. I need to get home. I've got dogs that need to eat. I need to go pee. And you're totally. Like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I said, my door's right there. Sorry, you can't go. I'm going. And I walk right through the middle. And they're like,
I think the best thing, though, is, I mean, the Olympics really shut down the city this summer.
Yeah. So you were nothing compared to that.
We're going to be glory days compared to that.
By the way, this is Ashley Park with us. Mindy Chen, of course, on the huge hit Netflix show, Emily in Paris. So happy you're here. And, of course, this show has... Okay. Lily Collins, her character gives me anxiety. Because she's always she's breaking up relationships left and right. And it's not always her fault, but it just seems like it's... her fault.
I know, but I literally make the sound, aw, so much as Ashley when I'm watching Lily do these scenes, because she's so positive and well-intentioned.
Yes.
And, like, nothing ever goes, it's just like how life is, right? I actually think I really enjoyed watching this past season because I feel like she's really, like, her comedy and the way she's embraced, like, who Emily is, and she's so unapologetic and positive is, like, so cute to me.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
But sort of like she's a trouble magnet. It's like things, she doesn't mean to be.
Weddings get canceled, you know, things happen. Well,
that was wild. When I read that episode for the first time, I was like, who's pregnant? What are you guys talking? I was like, Mindy's like, I'm in a helicopter with my rich boyfriend. I'll come in halfway through.
let's talk about how you shoot these things. Of course, we're out here in real world land, whatever this is, and we're watching Emily in Paris. We know that you shoot out of sequence. So you show up to the set that day not knowing why you're there. I mean, there was a fight, right? The fight. We're talking about the fight.
Oh, yeah, last season. Well, I think what a fun thing is that our writers, and Darren Starr is so brilliant about weaving together stories and storylines, and truly people ask us all the time, what do you want for your character? And I'm like, I would have never imagined what has happened so far, so let's just let him do it. But they write... They obviously have a plan maybe for the whole season, but we all go to Paris and they have the first two episodes written and they're working on the scripts as we're filming.
Oh, wow.
And so we film it in block shooting. So usually we do like one and two at the same time, but all out of order, 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever. And I think it was last season. I mean, it's so fun to get the scripts all together, but last season we are shooting in a location with me and my boyfriend, Paul Foreman, and it was his character, Nicolas' apartment. And we only had that location one day. So we had to film a big fight scene between me and him.
A fight? And you had no idea what the fight was about.
Not a clue.
On your mark, it said fight.
Yeah. And it was the day before. So they realized, oh, can't get this location again. Here's this fight from the 10th episode. We know you don't have it yet, but here it is. And I was like, what are the stakes of this fight? Like, did he like steal my fork, or are we like, or is this like, what's happening here? But, Yeah, it always we have really good guidance from the people in charge.
Now, I know you're dating him in real life, but I need you to end up with Benoit, please. Thank you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think a lot of people want you to end up with him.
Well, I think that people love that they associate Mindy singing with him, yeah. But also I've always guys, he walked out on her while they were performing on stage and was very jealous. And I think they're both, you know, I'm glad that Mindy's kind of choosing herself and has ended up there, but he was kind of a little bitch.
I know, but
she doesn't feel the same.
Oh. I think he loves you though, deep down. I mean, not you, the character, you. You know?
Yeah.
Deep down.
By the way, are we spoiling things
yes.
here?
Because no.
a lot.
No.
You know, yes, you know, I tell yes. you, tell the story. Who was it we had in this seat?
We just told her this.
Sarah Paulson.
Oh, yeah. American Horror Story. She comes in the day after the big season finale, and you know that show is like, you know, a mystery, and you never know what happens. And she just went ahead and told that what
she
happened.
She ruined it for everyone.
And she goes, if you're a fan, you should have bleeped and watched it by now.
Oh, that's what,
can you watch Emily in Paris as a fan? Are you too close to it? How does that work for the actors?
Usually this season was a little bit different for me because I came a month late to filming, and to be very candid, filming was very physically, emotionally, mentally challenging for me, just because I had just come from having sepsis and I was very ill during it. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay,
let me answer your.
Let me write down sepsis. Okay,
yes.
Go. Cue talent.
I think that for me, I do watch it as a fan of the show because I'm not, you know, in the theater, which is the world I come from, we're all in a rehearsal room. You see the show all together. You know what the story is. I have no clue when I'm not on set what's happening in the office, like what my other friends are doing. Like, I love getting to watch the scenes. I see it on paper, but I'm like, you know, so I get to watch it for the first time and be a fan of like all my friends on the show.
Right. Wow. It's an amazing show, by the way.
Yep.
And because I've always been in love with Paris. Paris is a character in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's a star of the show.
So and there's beautiful. All hot people on the show.
It's all
there's
hot.
There's not one ugly person. Like, Emily has to pick between these three hot guys. It's like, how do you pick?
Always go with the chef. Always.
It's got to feel great, though, knowing everyone's hot. And then you have a role. So, like, okay, I'm hot. I can do this.
I know, but sometimes I show up to set and I'm like, good luck to my hair and makeup in the morning.
Okay. Crack through this. Let's talk about sepsis. So you...
love that segue.
You're hot. Let's talk about sepsis.
Yeah, you're hot. That feels good.
Speaking of sepsis, I mean, sepsis can kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't have to go through all the particulars because I'm sure it's an emotional thing,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you're death's doorstep in the hospital. And as I laugh, I don't mean to laugh.
No.
But what happened?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny you bring up laughing because I think that I'm also a cancer survivor. And so I think that humor, much like, and I think it's one of the things I connected to with the character of Mindy is sometimes humor is a really amazing device to help you get through hard times, you know? Mm-hmm. So I find myself leading with humor a lot. But it was a really freak thing. And again, I'm so, so lucky that my boyfriend was with me, Paul Foreman, and that he was going to come back and film the show with me because I would not have been able to get through this season otherwise.
Wow.
But what was the question?
Well, was there a question?
Yeah.
Sepsis. Okay,
yes.
I mean, so you get very sick.
Yeah.
And it affects different people in different levels of severity.
Oh, so, I mean... Paul took me to the hospital on New Year's Day, and we are across the world. And I was told that I had five organs failing, pneumonia in both lungs, and it was very severe. And we are in a local ICU, so a lot happened. It was very fast and very, very scary. But this is where I was. He was being told that I had a 40% mortality rate.
Oof.
And then I was told that this is not sepsis, it's septic shock, which is the severest kind. But what I heard, I go, oh my gosh, yes, I am shocked that I have sepsis. Like, that's what
okay.
I thought it was. So which is why, you know, it was just World Sepsis Day and like raising awareness about that. It could happen from a cut. I got it from what they think was tonsillitis spread to that. So it's weird and wild to watch this season because I think I experienced firsthand why people watch the show when they're having a bad day, when they're in a rough point. And I had to really, I think it was the most mental accomplishment that I've been able to do.
Wow. Yeah. So coming out on the other end, yeah. You're like, okay, yeah. this actually turned out good.
I'm obviously still processing it. Yeah. You know?
Okay. Yeah. But how do you come out of the hospital and have the energy to just get back into filming like that?
I don't. So I think, again, it's, if my scene partner was not Lily Collins and Paul, and if our producers, especially Stephen Brown, like, we're so incredible. And because what was wild is when I was cleared from the hospital, I couldn't fly home. I've been open about that. I had to fly directly to Paris, mm-hmm. Just because it was closer. And so I recovered there for a while and then stepped back into filming. And, that black and white ball was one of my first night shoot back on set. I'm in this couture thing. I'm in these stilettos. Yeah. So it was a little bit of disbelief and disassociation. And thank God I've walked in Mindy's shoes for, like, 3 seasons, and I knew these people so well, or else I don't think I would have been able to get through it.
Wow. You know, Gandhi,
yes.
you had a dance with a little sepsis.
I had a dance with kind of a lot of what you're talking about, too. How has it changed the way you look at everything and the way you do everything now? Has it changed the way you look at everything now?
I mean, vastly. I think that also, having... having cancer as a 15-year-old, that definitely informed the person that I am, mostly because I really didn't want to be identified by that. And then in that personality trait of mine of not wanting to be the bald, sick girl or have that identity, and really made me the person I am in terms of the artist I am, the human I am, the kind of person I am. But I think that, this is wildly changed. I think it's just it's complete perspective change, and you've experienced it firsthand. It's wild me to watch a scene where a month before I was just like hooked up all over in the hospital,
Yeah. Wow. I feel like a lot of times it just becomes this thing in your life where there's a before and an after, and that's how you look at so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was before, and now that was after.
And honestly, I can't, we say pre-sepsis and post-sepsis a little bit now because, but I think for me, the biggest thing was it, when you go through stuff like that with people that you love, like that, the grace and the patience and the care that Paul showed me in that, it was far beyond, they started dating in season 3 of Emily in Paris,
And see, now I want you to end up with him, even though it's not the character.
Oh my God, Danielle. Yeah. Danielle.
I'm good.
I need a cattle prod for you. By the way, it's just turning us on. You need to listen to this interview from the very beginning on our on-demand channel. Ashley Park, of course, Mindy Chen from Emily in Paris. So you just discovered season 5 is on the way.
I know.
Congratulations.
What was it like being told? It's like, oh, God, we got to do this again.
No.
No, of course not.
It was wild. Well, it's funny because I didn't even, because we've been doing press. We did a Rome premiere. We were in Paris. I went to London for a couple of days, and Darren texted me, and I knew I was flying to New York the next day to start this whole week. So in my mind, I'm like, we're not going to hear for a while. Like, the show just came out.
Yeah.
And Darren texted and was like, can't wait to celebrate in New York. We're, we got picked up for season 5 officially. We're announcing it tomorrow. And I was like, what? I'm not even in New York yet. Like, what's happening?
So cool.
But that's a testament to, truly the fact that people all over the globe, I'm so grateful to the fans of the show and people who love the show, because there would not be a 5th season otherwise.
How long before you'll start filming that? Because I feel like we wait so long with a lot of shows to get the next season.
Sometimes we wait too long.
Yeah. What I'll say is there, because, we wrapped in May. And then the show, the first half of it came out in August. So I actually don't know how they do that so fast. Darren is an expert editor of these TV shows, So I don't know. I've been very open about this. I do not want to do it in the winter again. We got through Christmas.
You really hate Paris in the winter.
Good
God. I think maybe it had to do also, I love the sun, and I love, I'm very much affected by weather, I think. And I was depressed from having sepsis, so it was not a fun time, and so I think I just want the sun to be out again.
Okay, I get it. Paris in the sunshine, is always
also
beautiful.
You try being in stilettos on cobblestone, and half the time we had to pretend like it was warm still, and because we were filming stuff from the previous episode, so I was in a bathing suit outside. Everyone else was in a parka, and I was like, I just barely got here and survived.
Seriously,
here, put this on, get out there, girl.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know I haven't been in stilettos in cobblestone
street? I believe you have.
Cobblestone street. You don't know. Don't assume, Ashley.
Anyway, I want to talk about the naked song, but we can't because I don't want to ruin it for other people. There's just the naked
song. Thank you.
No, it's all out there.
I know.
It's literally just on Instagram.
No, it's not. Is it the naked songs? Yeah. No, I don't want to ruin it for anyone.
We have people yelling at us about spoiling The Sopranos, so of course.
That is true.
You're going to have
somebody
be upset.
Someone got mad at us for spoiling...
Did you mean the Crazy Horse song?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, wait, maybe
Titanic.
It's Naked Song.
No, I called it the Naked Song because you were supposed to be naked.
Yeah.
We got yelled at for ruining Titanic. I mean, what?
No, you did not.
Yes, we did.
By literally who?
A lot of people.
It's a historical event. Yeah. Like, they...
People didn't read.
I know.
No, King Kong, they got mad at us about that one, too.
I know. I was like,
what happens to that?
When he died. Well,
exactly. So I don't want to spoil it.
Does he die?
You just ruined.
Oh, my God.
Damn you, Gandhi.
That wasn't me. That was Danielle.
We did both of you.
Sorry.
Damn everyone.
Doesn't he climb up, and then the blonde girl's like, you're okay?
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
We got to move on.
This is horrible.
Godzilla died. Oh, no, it's fine. Wait, I really thought he survived.
Well, good. See, you don't...
Wait,
see,
I mean, I'm thinking Planet of the Apes. I don't know. Okay.
Let's not ruin all of them. Ashley, thank you for coming in.
This has been awesome.
Ashley Park, of course, Emily in Paris. If we ruin part of it, sorry.
Sorry.
Your fault.
Good morning.
Have you seen how amazing Scary and Scotty B's trip was in Jamaica at Sandals and Beaches Resorts? Well, we're sending you and a guest on an all-inclusive Caribbean getaway to any Sandals or Beaches Resorts in Jamaica. To win and get the rules, go to ElvisDuran.com today.
We're just hours away from our 2024 iHeartRadio Music Festival, presented by Capital One.
The biggest headliners in live music will be taking over T-Mobile Arena Las Vegas tonight and tomorrow.
Limited seats still available at AXS.com.
Don't miss Big Sean, Camila Cabello, Doja Cat, Dua Lipa, Gwen Stefani, Halsey, Hozier, Keith Urban, New Kids on the Block, Paramore, Shaboozy, The Black Crowes, The Weeknd, Thomas Rhett, Victoria Monet, and a special performance by Coldplay's Chris Martin.
Plus, some special surprises and moments you are not going to want to miss.
Our 2024 iHeartRadio Music Festival, presented by Capital One.
Stream only on Hulu.
And listen on iHeartRadio.
Tonight and tomorrow, starting at 10:30 p.m.
Capital One is the proud presenting partner of the 2024 iHeartRadio Music Festival, bringing great products, rewards, and services to its customers. What's in your wallet?
iHeartRadio, music you should know, featuring Lawrence, What You Want. conversation with iHeartRadio. Download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out and I'll lay your fish bay.
Cause it was always you. It's Friday.
It's about damn time. Yeah!
Good morning, my friends.
And of course, I'll have the weekend.
We're not going to be here tomorrow, so let's celebrate today.
Yeah!
But what is a weekend?
Skeedily, deedily, 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 poof.
I've been dancing around, getting ready, making a mess of my face, but I'm having a blast.
Yes. I don't know if you got the memo, but it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's about damn time.
Elvis Duran and the Morning Show.
By the way, gotta thank you, Wendy's, for the breakfast burritos. These are amazing. You know what I love about these burritos? They put potatoes in them. Breakfast burritos, in my opinion, rarely have potatoes. I love these. You get crispy bacon, grilled sausage. I enjoyed this sausage one over here. Well, there's nothing left, actually. Sorry. It's a full-blown breakfast right there in the burrito at participating Wendy's. We love you, Wendy's. These breakfast burritos are fabulous. Let's hear it for Wendy's.
Yeah, Wendy's! Yay!
Coming up next, Joe Coy is on the way. He's in town for a big show tonight. What a great Friday. I'm loving it. Got to go around the room. What's on your mind today? I want to start with you, Danielle. What you thinking?
Well, actually, do me and Sam at the same time. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's do Danielle and Sam right now.
Yes.
Here we go.
Because we went to this amazing event for Little Words Project yesterday, our friend Adriana Carrig. Mm-hmm. She now has a book out. And, you know, Little Words Project, I told you yesterday, it's just about, like, passing these adorable bracelets that have positive words on it to make you feel better and to brighten up someone's day, and just knowing that words make a difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we went to this event yesterday, and we met the most amazing women, and we found out that Adriana really lives the way she preaches. She is one of the kindest women. We found out about all these stories about women that she's given a chance to just, you know, do their thing, even if they didn't have any sort of experience. She gave them a chance, and they are thriving.
Danielle, talk about the woman who designed her stores.
Yeah, so there was one woman who designs her stores, and she has 14 brick-and-mortar stores now. She never did this before. She had met Adriana at something, and she said to her, I'd love to design your stores, but I don't know the first thing about designing a store. I mean, she had some design background, and Adriana's answer was, no worries, I don't really know what I'm doing either. We'll figure this out together. And now the woman has designed 14 stores and has been able to start her own company.
That's
how cool is that?
Amazing. All right, so these are the people we should be supporting. Tell everyone where to go and how to support.
Oh, just go to Little Words Project. You just Google it, go on Instagram, anywhere, and you'll find it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, you did nothing.
I nodded like that whole time. I nodded emphatically. Okay, so my same but different, my around the room. I kind of wanted to speak to why she started the company in the first place. This queen was bullied so badly as a child that at one point the police had to be called to interfere. Like, she got it so rough when she was growing up. So she founded this company on what she needed, which was a positive word around a wrist, just like so you could look down and remind yourself of it. So I wanted to say to everyone out there who's dealing with crap from the outside that they can't really control, it freaking sucks, but it might just be the superpower you need to change the world in that way.
I love that.
I love what she's done, and I can't believe that's how she started. So
excellent, really excellent. Proud. Continuing around the room, look over there. There's Froggy. Froggy, what's on your mind today?
So as you guys know, that today the new iPhone comes out, and so yesterday I'm trading my iPhone in to get the new iPhone, so it doesn't cost as much. I dropped my iPhone for the first time.
What happened? What happened?
Damn. I thought it broke the screen, but it only broke the screen protector on top of it, so I took it off. But I'm telling you right now, I'm only using it over carpeted and soft surfaces now until I can turn it in.
We're talking about a lot of money you would lose if you cracked that phone.
Yeah, I traded in. I got $800 for it. So, ooh, I mean, it takes $800 off the cost of my phone.
All right. Best of luck. You know it. Something's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
I just got to get the news today. Wish me luck.
Straight Nate, what's going on with you?
Okay, I know I've mentioned it a couple of times. Shogun is really good. There's a reason it won all of those Emmys. It's just so well done. The story, the acting. I think I'm actually picking up some Japanese now. It's so good. So give it a try if you haven't seen it, please. This is not an ad. They're not paying me to say this. It's just really well done, and it deserved all those awards.
We've heard from everyone, including Mark Adams, the smartest man in the world, down the hall. Shogun is the way to go. All right, I'm going to watch. Hey, Scary, what's going on with you?
Well, I never used to speak up when I got bad customer service, and recently I've been speaking up every time. Remember when I was landing at Newark and the plane got diverted and we landed 4 hours late because of sticky valve right? Tell you about that list. Well, I went in. I said, look, you destroyed my entire night and my vacation. All the anxiety and stress came back. I wrote to United Airlines customer service. They came back with, here's a $150 voucher for one for you and one for your girlfriend. Wow. And we're going to deposit 7,500 miles into your account. And any inconvenience financially that it took you that night with Ubers and taxi rides home, we're going to take care of that as well. Oh, my God. Wow, I never thought I would get all that. But I just went a little back and forth with them in a nice manner over email. And thank you, United Airlines customer service. I caught you doing something right.
Nice.
You know, I can't imagine being customer service at an airline because there's so many things that go wrong every single second of every single day with an airline. A lot of it's out of their control, but they have to make it right. You know, they should. Thank you, United. You caught them doing something right, finally. What's up with you today, Gandhi? What's on your mind?
Okay, I want to take this moment to apologize to Diamond, who I don't even think is listening to us right now. But I gave her crap about running away from that bear when we were at Glacier National Park. And a story came out today that a hiker was attacked on the same trail by a bear at Glacier National Park.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. My whole, it'll be fine, just make noise and don't bother the bear, you know, scare it off. Maybe not so true, so sorry, Diamond. But look at us, we made it through. Yay.
I wonder if it was the same bear you guys saw.
Maybe. Maybe she got tired of people messing with her babies, getting too close. Yeah. But either way.
I love you around the room. I gave you hell for being scared. Now, be scared, girl.
Yeah,
be
now scared. That we're through it. Terrifying.
God, all right.
Ha-ha, laugh, funny. Elvis Duran in the Morning Show. The free iHeartRadio app has over 100 commercial-free stations waiting for you to explore right now, like K-pop radio, featuring the ultimate in K-pop. Jimin, New Jeans, Stray Kids, aespa, and more. All commercial-free. Just open the free iHeartRadio app, search K-pop radio, and listen now. iHeartRadio. Free never sounded so good.
It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor, nothing on me. And I can't take it no more, it's 100 degrees. I got one foot out the door, where are my keys? Cause I gotta leave.
Z100 Morning Show. Elvis Duran. Where hit music lives. On Z100.
Don't get it. Do you enjoy being hurt? I know you smell the perfume, the makeup on his shirt. You don't believe his stories. You know that there are lies. Bad as you are, you stick around, and I just don't know why.
If I was your man,
baby, you
never worry about
what I do.
I'd be coming home
back to you every night, doing you right.
Type of woman
deserve good fame.
This for the diamonds,
a head for the rain.
Maybe you're a star.
I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you. Let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. A baby, good love and protection. Make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should let me love you, love you, love you, love you, yeah. Listen, your true beauty's description looks so good that it hurts. You're a dime plus 99 and it's a shame. Don't even know what you're worth. Everywhere you go, they stop and stare, cause you're better than shows. From your head to your toes, out of control. Baby, you know.
If I was your man,
baby, you
never worry about
what I do.
I'd be coming home
back to you every night, doing you right.
You're the type of woman
deserves good things.
This for the diamonds,
a handful of rings.
Baby, you're a star.
I just wanna show you you are. You should let me love you. Let me be the one to give you everything you want and need. Oh, baby, good love and protection. Oh, make me your selection. Show you the way love's supposed to be. Baby, you should love me.
You deserve better.
You know you deserve better.
We should be together.
Right here.
Yay!
I found him.
Yes.
Slithering around the hallway.
Yes.
Of course, Joe is everywhere. Tonight, out at Prudential Center in Newark. What? That's a great place.
Thank you.
You play some really fantastic halls.
I love it.
Like, I was saying, Radio City. I would love to play Radio City. He's like, nah. That Radio City is great.
Well, I played it. I played it twice.
Yeah, but then you said the Garden is where we all want to play.
The Garden is the Mecca.
Oh, okay.
That's the Mecca.
What is it that makes it the Mecca for you?
You can feel it. You can feel the energy when you walk in. There's just like this nostalgia when you walk in. The look from the outside, the way it just sits inside the city, just looks like you need to be here. You know, when I used to play at Caroline's, I used to always walk by the garden and they used to go, oh, do you want tickets to the Knicks or do you want tickets? They would always offer me tickets and I always turned them down because I said, the only time I'm going in the garden is if I'm opening for somebody or if I'm, you know, headlining.
Right.
And I waited a long time. I waited a long time. It took me like 18 years and I finally did it.
Wow.
Yeah. That probably
by the way,
so good.
The most expensive arena you can possibly play is the MSG. Yeah.
Well, we have our Jingle Ball there, right?
Uh-huh. Every year. Oh, and you guys get a deal with MSG.
But they tell the artists.
I don't get a deal.
We don't
but
get a deal.
But they tell the artists we have to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, you do.
We do not.
Who are you?
We don't get a deal.
So there's BS right now.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is. You do get a deal.
How do you know
you guys,
there's no way in hell
you guys are paying outright for that.
I believe we get a deal.
They have told the artists before, we have to be done with the show at this time,
yes,
or we pay a big fine.
Oh, yeah. A huge
so
fine.
So why are we getting a deal if we have to pay a fine?
No, but you're getting a deal on the rental of the building.
No, we don't.
Yes,
I don't think so.
Hey, Joe.
You're not going to sit here and tell me you don't get a deal.
I'm
about to set this whole soundboard on fire.
No, it does on its own.
Something that it does on its own.
You can't take credit for that.
Maybe I know why it sets on fire all the time.
Okay, I'm going to say something here, and you're going to. I've never said this to anyone in my life.
Okay.
We play the garden more than you play the garden. I'm telling you right now.
I know you do. I know because you get a deal.
I'm gonna throw a stapler at you. So tonight you're at a Prudential Center, and
that's where the Devils play. By the way, those are my Devils.
Exactly. By the way, when you're a performer, like ice skating rinks are, even though they cover it up or if they turn it off, whatever it is, you feel it. You feel it.
You feel the ice.
It goes right into your. I should pause when I say this, but it goes right into your throat.
Yeah, really.
Go on.
My God.
I mean, I'll stop right there.
No.
But this can't talk.
This is where I start. Okay, so anyway, we have a commercial that's playing on our show.
Okay.
I'm going to play it in a second because there's a couple things in the commercial I want to talk about, which is great.
Is it you plugging the garden?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's about tonight's show at Prudential Center. So I said to Gandhi, are there any seats available tonight? Because we're playing the commercial. Maybe we're just charging them for commercial and they don't need it.
I want to go.
And you looked it up and you said to me,
your prices are way too reasonable.
Yeah. And I said,
you need to make them much higher.
But are they more expensive when you play the garden?
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm getting last second tickets. This is going to be crazy. Yeah. And I said,
By the way, I do that. I've done that my whole career.
You make that decision?
Yeah.
I
rent the room. That's me. Everything's me.
Wow.
Whenever you rent an arena, that's not someone hiring me.
Well, that's the thing about Joe Coy. Joe Coy wants his fans to come see him, and he doesn't want them to feel like they've been ripped off.
Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I have my platinums, which are crazy, right? You know what I mean? But we also have to do that to combat the scalpers.
You know what I mean?
So you have to make it hard for them to buy your ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I hate doing it, but you literally have to do it. Because if you keep it at a certain price point, then boom, they'll buy everything.
I know, but you know what? Funny World Tour, right? Back in 2023, it broke records. You were ripping the fans off back then. You decided to bring it back.
Clearly.
Towed it back.
I didn't rip anyone off.
He doesn't get any deals. So neither do the fans.
Okay, all right. It's all a joke.
Hey, but you know, this is coming from a guy that's talking into a gold-plated microphone.
That's right.
To match his gold-plated jacket.
Oh, well.
Busted.
This guy.
I'm not pretending to be someone I'm not. Anyway, Joe Coy is here. And, of course, Just Being Coy Tour. Tickets are on sale. You've got how many more nights beyond tonight? I mean, do you have left in the tour?
It just started. I started last week.
Oh my God. So you've got a lot. So how many? How many nights?
I don't know.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's usually like four shows a weekend. Wow. Three to four, yeah. Mm. Last week was crazy because that was the beginning of this tour.
Right.
And that was nuts because it was where the Rockets play, and then we went to where the Spurs play, and then we went off to this small town in Texas, but they had an arena.
Right.
And we sold that out. And that was like crazy to do something like that.
Well, of course, on Netflix, your Brooklyn show.
Yes.
That was several months ago, and I loved it. What an incredible, what are you looking at?
Huh? It's the reflection of the light hitting the gold microphone. And I tried to look into your eyes, but I was blinded. So
it actually hurts your teeth.
Just talk to me and don't try and figure out why people are closing their eyes when they talk to you.
Okay, so Joe, your Live from Brooklyn show on Netflix, one of my favorites. They're all great. But the thing is, all that stuff you did on that show, it's done. You can't do that anymore, right?
No.
So now
that was an expensive special. That was the most expensive one out of all the specials I did.
It's expensive.
Well, Warrior Union was very expensive.
Right.
Renting out King's Theater was so expensive. I built out my stage, so I wanted to show the King's Theater how beautiful it was. It's 100 years old. It's like a historic landmark, and you guys have it. You guys preserved it. It's gorgeous. They don't have theaters like that anymore. They blow them up, and you guys kept it. And so I put my stage in the front, and I lit up the room so you can see it in every shot.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And then instead of a backdrop of like my name or something, I put a brick wall. I built that brick wall behind me.
Usually they try to cover up brick walls. He built it.
What do you do with that when it's over?
You throw it away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right into the Hudson.
But mine was made out of chocolate.
Okay.
Eat it. Schnozberries. Well, I know, but those jokes are done. I mean, that material, those stories are done.
By the way, those songs that I did in there.
Right. Are they done?
Those are the most expensive songs ever. I wasn't even going to do those songs. It was just, I was in the moment and I just did it. And then, and right when I walked back, I looked at the producers. I know it's going to be a lot.
So you're talking about like the mumble rap stuff?
Yeah.
Right.
Rest in peace, Rich Homie Quan. He just passed.
Okay, let me play the commercial because you kind of started off. Do you even hear the commercials we run for you?
Yes.
Because he listens all the time.
He said to lie.
There's no freaking clue.
Oh, really? I said I didn't get a discount on MSG.
Here's how you are represented. But you actually start this conversation in these commercials.
Joe Coy. Just Being Coy Tour.
Mentally, I've become my dad. My dad was like, oh, you listen to that hippity hoppity? And now I'm sounding like my dad because I'm like, you're listening to that mumbly mumbly? You're listening to that mumbly mumbly mumbly? They don't even say words. Mumble, mumble, mumble.
Friday, September 20th, Prudential Center.
That's such a true story, by the way. My son hated my rap when that stuff. Oh, he hated it. He didn't understand it. He thought it was stupid, and all he listened to was, you know, that. I don't want to plug him, but rest in peace, Rich Homie Quan. He passed away, so he passed. But I didn't get it, and I started feeling old. Run DMC and Beastie Boys and all that Def Jam stuff. My dad was doing that to me. Oh, hippity hoppity, you know. How do you like the hippity hoppity? This is music. And it's like Aerosmith. And I'm like, yeah, that's Run DMC, Dad. He's like, how dare you say that? How dare you say that? And now I've turned into that. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did it. Cause that joke went viral. It cost a lot of money. I was not going to do it.
What cost so much money getting rights for things?
Yeah, the licensing on that was so expensive. And every second was just so much money.
But worth every penny, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, the Biggie Estate reached out. They gave me, you know, everything. Like, they're doing collabo shirts with me. And it's like, it's kind of cool. You know, Mrs. Wallace, you know, saw it. And like, it's so cool, man. And big shout out to the Biggie Estate. And now we're doing this collabo shirt, and I'm gonna give proceeds to the Wallace Foundation.
It all started with, not to trivialize it, it all started with a joke, right? A story. And now look how big it just avalanched. Yeah. Never ever expecting it to do this.
But I was being true to myself, though, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't doing it. Like, I really didn't want to do it. That's why when even my DJ in the back, he didn't even know what to do when I said that. I was even, like, pausing in between my setup too, because I knew he wasn't prepared for it.
Right.
And then I was to play it and he had it queued up. That was a moment that I'll always treasure. Cause it really was not supposed to happen.
But it did. And that's all that matters.
Did, yeah.
But my point is this, you've used that material. Now you're out on a new tour. We need new material for Joe. So if you want to text in some jokes. Some stories. I don't
want to talk about other people's families. I'll just I'll just talk about mine. You know what I mean? I'll just let my son do all the work.
And I hate to ever call it jokes because they're stories. And your son, I love it when you talk about your son.
I love it too.
Because I don't know, even though.
I'm a little sad now he's 21.
Well, I know, but you still talk in his voice as if he's 14 years old.
Oh, dad.
Dad, yeah.
Dad, no. He still kind of does that.
You never want that to leave him.
Yeah. Like, he loves to do this, too. I don't get it. He loves to say that. I don't get it. What?
He probably doesn't.
All right, that's dumb.
Yeah, no, that's cringe. My, Ma, that's cringe. Don't do it.
God.
I'm like, oh, gosh.
Dad, you're being sus. I'm like, oh, God.
You're a little sus.
Oh, God. What?
You're loving it.
No, I do. I love it. I love him being on the road with me. You know what I mean? There was a lot of sacrifices that I took, you know, and I get sad when I think about it sometimes. And, you know, I miss a lot of birthdays. I remember crying, you know, when I was on the road sometime. And, but now it's like, oh, okay, this is why I did it. He gets to live his best life.
Right. You're a good dad.
I sacrificed a lot. Yeah. I really did. I really did, man.
We've never met your son, but I know he's a good kid.
You'll love him.
Because the way you speak about him is, it speaks volumes about what kind of dad you are.
He's an amazing kid. He's an amazing man. He's so cool.
I know you said he did. Often, so I don't get it. Does he get it now? Does he use, hey, my dad's Joe Coy to ever flex? And,
you know. He loves it. Yeah. Yeah, he loves it.
But he probably loves it when it's convenient to him.
No.
Oh, no. Everything?
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
He won't take a picture with me. He won't post things. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he's so sweet to his mommy. So I love that too. And he's sweet to his aunt. Like, I love how caring he is about them as well. Like, he always thinks to them. I love that.
Aww. He understands the importance of family.
Yeah, you know? He really does. I love that.
Well, look, you know, obviously you got that from you because all you talk about is your family.
Yeah.
In glowing terms and in sometimes fun and, you know, funny terms. But look at this, Joe Coy.
Well, my mom and dad was divorced, right?
Right.
And like when I was like 9, 10, right? So we kind of had it rough when Gemma and I were kids. And then, and I even told Gemma this. I was like, you know, when I divorced Angie, I said, I will never do what they did. You know what I mean? We're going to be the opposite of that. I even told Angie, you don't need a lawyer. I got you. Like, and I was right at Nordstrom Rack. I was like shelving shoes at the time. I go, whatever happens in my career, I got you. Don't worry about it. And I've been like that. We've been best friends ever since. I bought her a house in front of my house. She lives right next
to
me.
That's awesome.
I'll wake up and she's drinking coffee in my living room. Ask my sister. I'm not even making this up. When I go on family vacations, Angie's right next to us. Like, I want us to be, like, even though we weren't married, we're still like best friends. We got this great son together. And we do things together. Like, if I'm going to take my son to London, I'm taking his mommy. We're going to share this together. Like, all three of us are going to go to London.
You know what I love hearing about, and why I love hearing this from you, Joe Coy, is, you know, there are a lot of artists like you who are on the road talking about the family, talking about, and that's their material, and it's funny. When you know that it's all from a place of love, and it's sometimes you can rib each other a little bit because that's part of the being a family.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference with your fans. And with me, I'm a fan too. Hey, you're like rolling through your third decade. It's your third decade of doing this for a living.
Yeah.
How has the art of, if you want to call it comedy, the art of being a comic, how has that changed? Can you look back at those first early lean years and compare them to today?
I love still what I did in the past, and I keep telling the young cats that are coming up now, like, tangible things are always going to be the best way of marketing yourself.
Describe that, tangible things.
Like, so when I was coming up, and this is why Angie's so, like, my ex, I used to burn DVDs because I didn't have a DVD yet. So I would burn them. I would go to, like, this electronics store. It's called Fry's. I don't know if they have it here, but I would buy a stack of DVDs, the blank ones. It was $100 for 100. So it's a dollar disc, right? I'd buy like three of those a week. So every weekend I would go out, I would burn these DVDs that I made myself, right? And then I'd get a jewel case and I took a picture of my son that was crying and I would slip that in the jewel case.
We call that artwork.
Yeah.
All right.
To this day, it's still my logo. It's my son crying to this day. And I literally we burn those DVDs. And if I could, I would sell them for like $5 a pop. You know what I mean? It's like, it's $100 for a stack. You sell them for $500, you make $400 for the weekend, right?
Right.
But then I wouldn't sell that many, right? I'd sell like maybe 20 of them on the weekend and I would just hand them out for free. I would just hand them out as much as I can, like candy on during Halloween. I would just keep handing it out. Every time I did a show, I'd have 1,000. Ask Gemma. We'd print. Oh, there's my. That's the logo right there. And ask Gemma. I would print. I would print 10,000 flyers, and I still do it to this day. And I would hand them out. Right, Gemma? Like right now, I got Brooklyn, my Brooklyn special on Netflix. I have how many? Probably like 20,000 flyers. and I will hand them out. I don't care. It's wow. like you get it into their hands and you let them know about your product. You know what I mean?
So we're talking 20.
You invested in it, so let them know about it. Don't just sit there and wait for it to happen.
We're talking 20 something years ago, right?
30.
Okay. Hey, so if you have one of Joe Coy's original burned, home burned CDs, text me at 55100.
It's the coolest thing when they walk up to me.
And they still have it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got people walking up to me. I was in Times Square one time, and the cop on a the bicycle cop walked up to me. He was like, "Hold on, let me show you something." He pulled out his wallet, and it was my card. He kept it in his wallet, and he goes, "Look at this, man." He goes, "I always knew you were going to do something. Look at that."
Wow. That's pretty
plus
wild.
He loved the card too. It was a cool card. I'm not going to lie. It was
you
really
were like
cool.
Canal Street before Canal Street.
Yeah,
right? Really.
But I think I tell every comic that's coming up, it's like, bro, like. Go out and get it. Like, when I didn't get my first special, I went and got it. Like, Netflix didn't give me that special. I went and made it myself after they said no. I went and paid for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I paid it. General Wright, let them know. Like,
is that how it works if you want your own special?
That's not how it works. Because they even told me the day I was taping it, they're like, hey, we know you're taping it, but we want you to know we really don't want it.
Well, at that point, what can you do? You're already in.
I love Netflix, and that's a business decision. That has nothing to do with me personally.
Right.
It's just that was a business decision that they made, and I had to be okay with that.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I had to be like, all right, that's the decision you made, but let me show you why it's the wrong decision. And I went and paid for it. I paid for all of that. Like,
wow.
Everything. Director, producer.
You stood behind what you believed in.
Cameras, wow. Everything.
But do you ever hold grudges? Like, well, damn it.
No, not at all.
But I did
want to let people know that, you know, because there's people that are always like, oh, he blew up because of that special Netflix game. And I'm like, pump the brakes, homie.
Just give me nothing.
Or you're making little assumptions. That's not what happened. That's what's happening with you, but that's not happening with me. I went and paid for that thing.
You didn't get a discount.
No. I remember I had two shots at that thing, and I remember the first taping, we had technical difficulty with the jib, and I remember saying to myself, man, I got all this money invested, and we're not going to be able to use that first taping. And it was the second taping that we went in on.
Like, but you got it.
Got it, yeah.
Can I tell you something from a fan's point of view? I remember the night Alex and I sat down and watched Joe Coy live from Brooklyn, right? Oh. So it was a day. We had a great day doing whatever. And I said, what are we doing? Where are we going tonight for dinner? What restaurant? He said, let's just stay in. Okay. What do you want to do? Let's watch a movie. So we started flipping around. I said, wait a minute. Live from Brooklyn, it's out. It's been out a few days now. This is back in June or July, whatever. So I remember we got big bottle of wine. We sat down. We dimmed the lights. We had the dogs with us. They'd already eaten and, you know, peed outside, and they're ready to, like, hang out. We just sat there and just got into it.
Huh.
We didn't talk during it. We would laugh. We just relaxed. It was just an event for us, even as simple as it was in our own TV room watching you. That's how great these nights are when you release these specials on Netflix.
Oh,
thank God you invested in that one specials ago. Because it gives us a chance just to sit back and let someone else do the work for us. And just watching you tell your stories, watching you brilliantly get that audience going, we felt as if we were there with you. In the comfort of our own home, you know, getting sloshed on some cheap wine.
Yeah.
But just thank you so much for those moments. As simple as they seem to us, those are our favorite moments together.
Oh, you really cry right now.
No, they really are.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, man. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
What are you saying?
You got me all.
Now give me some cash.
Oh,
he's writing cue cards for me. Do you have any cash?
Oh, you're so funny. That's so funny.
Yeah, I should pay you for that night.
Yeah.
More so than my Netflix monthly subscription. Do you get free Netflix? I know a stupid question.
By the way, I just want to, like, I don't want anyone to think like I'm Netflix made a great decision, and I went in and brought that special into them, you know what I mean? And then they watch it, and they gave me the deal. So I love Netflix. I don't want anyone to think like, oh, he hating on Netflix. No, I love Netflix.
No one heard you hate on Netflix at all.
I know, but I just don't want it to be misunderstood.
No.
And they gave me a great deal.
Well, they don't do that for everyone, Joe. So obviously you earned everything you got out of it.
They gave me a golden mic and a matching jacket. And they said I was the only one.
They do love you, don't they?
They do.
They do. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming in.
I love you.
Just beginning a new adventure, Joe Coy, Just Being Coy Tour. It's coming to town. It'll